truth to Abram after the battle that took place and after the victory that Abram secured and bringing Lot back. And we come to chapter number 15, and the Bible says, after these things, you notice it begins in verse number 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, notice what God says to Abram. What a blessed greeting. It says, fear not. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Isn't that a great truth that God gives? He goes on and we find that Abram responds in verse number 2 and he says, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? The steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. This is the logic that Abram is having as he's having this conversation here with God. And we find that in verse number 4, the Bible says, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. By the way, if he's Lord and he's master, then what he says goes. Amen? So Abram says, you've not given me an heir. I've gone childless. I know the promise that you gave, but I've not had any children. We're childless. And so this one that's born in mine house, this Eleazar of Damascus, then he could be the heir. And God, the Lord, the master, he says, this shall not be thine heir. It's pretty clear, is it not? Notice, it's interesting, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Notice what God does in the next couple of verses of Scripture as God confirms who he is, and he reminds Abraham of two powerful truths in these next couple of verses and provides him with a promise. It says in verse number 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, notice what God says to Abram, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Have you ever walked outside and just looked up? I understand that you've traveled, I've traveled, and there's some places of the country that you can go that it seems like the stars just shine brighter. Why is that? Well, it's because if you're near a city and there's all the city light, well, then you can't see as well, and other factors with regard to pollution and what have you. I've been out in Arizona. When I was in Sedona about 14 years ago now, we were in Sedona, and we were out there. We had the opportunity to go, and it was very interesting. They have all of these rules with regard to the height of any lights in the city proper. Because they don't want to mess with being able to see the stars. And you begin to see, and here it says, look toward heaven and tell the stars. Now remember, it's Elohim, the first mention, the truth that we looked at that very first week in Genesis chapter number 1, where the Bible said that he made the stars also. And now we find that he says to Abram, and tell the stars, notice, if thou be able to number them. Isn't that interesting? Now, you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us that God has a name for the stars. He calls them by their name. But he says to Abram, go out and look toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. What a promise. I mean, what a truth that God reveals to Abram as he takes him and he gives him this visual aid to teach a lesson. And he says, look at the stars. Are you able to number them? And he says, so shall thy seed be. Now, this is a promise that is far-reaching. This is something that Abram would not see in his life, but we find that God gives him this promise. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. God then reminds Abram of the second truth. The first one is that he's creator in verse number 5. In verse number 7, he reminds Abram of God's work in his life personally. I brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now, I want you to think just for a moment. God called Abram, and you could go back and we could study. We don't have time this evening here on a Wednesday evening, but you go back to Genesis chapter number 12, and just very quickly, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." We read the book of Hebrews, and we find that he went out looking for a land. He didn't know where he was going, but God was bringing him. And when the Bible tells us here that he brought him out to give him a land, to give thee this land to inherit it. We begin to think about this truth that God gives in verse number 7, and we begin to understand that even for us this evening, as we understand Abram in this particular account, and understanding this evening that God brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give him a land that he did not, of course, he was there, but of course his descendants for a long time did not have the land. And we understand even as you go further into this 15th chapter that it's in verse number 13, that he talks to him about the 400 years in verse number 16 until the iniquity of the Amorites is full with regard to this long term. But God is eternal. The Lord, our master, he knows all things, he doeth all things well, and he brought him out so that he could bring him in and to give him this. And I begin to think about my own life and your life this evening and the work that God did in our lives that we could not do on our own. Amen. He saved you, did he not? If you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, you know that heaven is your home. He did something for you that no one else could do for you. He did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. And I'm thankful that he's Savior. But the truth this evening is that he's not just Savior, he's Savior and he's Master. He's Savior and he's Lord. D.L. Moody famously said, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so often what we struggle with so often in our lives is that we want to be the king of our lives. We want to be the one that makes the decision of what we're going to do and how we're going to do and so on and so forth. And so we find that as we begin to look at this, and again, Abram is going to acknowledge in verse number 8, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And God gives him, and of course we see the Abrahamic covenant here, and what a great truth that God gives. By the way, Abraham was asleep. It was a covenant that God made on his own, by his own self. And we can rejoice in that. We understand that we still talk about the Abrahamic covenant this evening and to this very day. Indeed, tonight, as we look at the name Adonai, it is imperative for God's people to recognize his lordship and also to submit to his authority. Because when we recognize his lordship, it results in submitting to his authority. If we say with our lips that he is Lord, but our behavior is one of no submission, then we've not really made him Lord. Does that make sense tonight? So if we acknowledge or recognize his lordship, we must also submit to his authority. Jesus is my Savior. Praise God for that. But he's also my master. We sing many songs about God being our master. My life, Lord, is yours to control. Take my life and let it be. I surrender all to Jesus. And we speak about those songs, we sing those songs, and what wonderful songs they are. And this evening, as we kind of trace the name Adonai through the Scriptures, I want you to think of three thoughts tonight with regard to how the name Adonai should impact us, Lord, Master. Number one, it should result in surrender. Surrender. Look at Isaiah 6, if you will. Isaiah 6 is a familiar verse of Scripture, or passage of Scripture. In Isaiah chapter number 6, we're familiar with the passage because it's in that chapter in which we see the call and commission of Isaiah. And we find that it's here, the Bible tells us as we begin reading the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. And we find that in verse number 1 and again in verse number 11, God's name Adonai is used. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now King Uzziah, he was the king. He was the king of Judah. We find that of Judah there. And he said, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And so we find that Uzziah, after all these years of being the king, now he dies, and Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. Where's he sitting? Sitting upon a throne. That's his rightful place, is it not? We understand that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the great I Am. And we find that he's sitting upon a throne. It tells us that he was lifted up and his train filled the temple. I mean, Isaiah got a proper view of God in this passage of Scripture. It goes on, in which we read that the Bible says, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Notice in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then notice, this is the first thought with this truth of Adonai. The question is given in verse number 8, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? What's the answer? Here am I, send me. Why is that the answer? Well, because he saw him as Lord, as Master. We find that he says, Here am I, send me. And he said, verse number 9, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. That's the mission that is given to Isaiah. By the way, not an easy mission. We find that Isaiah asks, Then said I, Lord, Adonai, he's Master, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Isaiah had been given a mission, and Isaiah says, Here am I, send me. He answers that call because he sees God as Lord, as Master. And so therefore he surrenders. Ephesians 5, as far as a New Testament parallel, Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 17, notice what we read here in this portion of Scripture. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5 and verse number 17, Wherefore be ye not unwise, notice what it says, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Not understanding what your will is, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And once I properly understand what the will of the Lord is, when I understand that He is Lord, that He is Master, again, I've recognized His Lordship, that I must submit to His authority. And it's absolutely imperative this evening that we see this truth of Lord and Master, and it results in this surrender. This evening, as we consider this name, this Hebrew name of God, Adonai, we must ask ourselves the question, is He Lord of my life? Am I surrendered to Him? If God were to say to you this evening, I want you to do X, Y, or Z. I want you to go. I want you to give. I want you to whatever. Is He Lord? Is He Master? Are we surrendered? It's a question that requires some soul searching. It's a question I think that many of us would like to answer immediately in the affirmative. I'll say yes, Lord. But the reality is that you have a will and I have a will. But when we recognize He's Lord, we can come to that place of just surrender. Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want, take me, use me, however you see fit. Because all that we are is only because of God's grace. Notice number two, think about this, not only surrender, but sacrifice. Turn to the book of Malachi, if you will. Malachi is a rich book that we don't visit very often, the last book of the Old Testament. I want you to look in Malachi chapter number 1. I want you to look at a few verses of Scripture. We see this name Adonai in verse number 14. We see other names of God throughout the passage. We're going to begin reading in verse number 6. And I want you to notice this truth of sacrifice this evening from this passage. Notice the Bible says in verse number 6, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Notice what they did. Ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Notice in verse 8, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Notice this. He says, offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. You know what's happening? If I could just pause for a moment and kind of help us understand exactly what's going on. They were to bring the best of their offering to the Lord. But here they find themselves in a place where they're going and they're trying to find something that's, as it's described in verse number 8, blind or lame. They're trying to find something that they'll easily part with, that we'll bring this for a sacrifice because I'm not going to take the best. And here's what God says. Take it to your governor, humanly speaking, and see if your governor will be pleased with thee. That's kind of interesting, is it not? Because I think each of them could easily be able to answer the question that, no, this would not be acceptable to the human leadership. So God says, why are you bringing me such an offering? Is he not worthy of our best, of that sacrifice? And we find in verse 9, and now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there, even among you, that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you notice in verse number 11 that his name is mentioned three times? That phrase, my name. We find that verse number 12, but ye have profaned it. In that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Think about the truth of Malachi chapter number 1 and the sacrifice. And I'm thankful to live on this side of Calvary that we're not bringing the same types of sacrifices that are being spoken of here in the book of Malachi. But you know, the reality is that we too still today are to bring, our bodies are to be a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. We find Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15 talks about the sacrifice of our lips. What are we doing? We're giving thanks, praise unto his name. And he refers to it in Hebrews 13 and verse number 15 as being a sacrifice that we're offering to him, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We find that it was the sacrifice, if you will, as we find that Paul is writing to the church in Philippi and he's commending them in the fourth chapter for the fact that they had communicated with him once and again. And he said that their offering, their giving, their sacrificial giving, that it was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then we read this in Revelation chapter 4. Turn there if you will. Revelation chapter 4. We'll get there in just a few more weeks in our Sunday night study through the book of Revelation. But we find in Revelation 4 and 5 wonderful scenes that God gives us into the throne room of heaven. We find in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, notice this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." You know, He's going to be worthy on that day, but you understand He's worthy on this day. Amen? He's going to be worthy of all of this, but He is worthy of all of this. It's not just a look to the future type of He'll be worthy in that day. No, He's worthy in this day. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy to receive glory and honor. We find, as we think about the name Adonai, Lord, Master, surrender, sacrifice. And let me say this, a third word to leave with you this evening, service. Service. Because He's my Lord and my Master, I desire to serve Him. I get to serve Him. There's such a misconception this evening amongst so many in the religious world, if I could use that terminology this evening, this misconception of having to do good works in order to get saved, do good works in order to stay saved. And we understand the Bible very plainly, clearly teaches that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. There's no work that you can do to get saved. There's no work you can do to stay saved. The reality is because we are saved, God gives us the liberty to be able to serve Him. And what a blessing to be known as His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." That Paul was recognizing the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He is my Savior, but He's my Master. And I am now privileged. I have this opportunity to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And His yoke is light. It's easy. And we find that He empowers us and He encourages us. He equips us for the work that He's called us to do. And we get to serve our Master. What a blessing. What a blessing. To be the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master. You know, it's interesting, there's a contrast in Romans chapter number 6 that talks about the fact that we were the servants of sin, but now we're the servants of righteousness. And by the way, I'd rather be a servant of righteousness than a servant of sin. Amen? And we get to serve God. And when we understand that He's Lord and Master, there should be nothing that He could ask of you or me that we would not be willing to do. I used the example several months ago, maybe a couple of months ago now, of a clip I heard. I was just moving the van. I wasn't even driving real far, and the AFR was on in the church van, and American Family Radio, and Alex McFarland was talking on there, and he talked about how blessed he was after he got saved to just be able to serve God in any capacity, and how he rejoiced because the first job he ever got was to go clean the bathrooms at their church. And he was rejoicing in it. Why? Because he said, "I get to serve the Lord. I just get to serve the Lord." I mean, now he's written, I don't know how many books he's written. He's preaching all over the country, the world. I mean, it's amazing. But he just had this perspective that He's my Savior, yes. But He's my Lord, He's my Master, and I get to serve Him. James chapter number 4, a passage of Scripture that we often will reference when we talk about the opportunity that we have to serve the Lord. And we find here in James 4, in verse number 15, the Bible says this, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." He's talking about those that are saying, we're going to go and we're going to do this, we're going to buy and sell and get gain. And of course, in the text of passage here, the text of Scripture, he says, "What is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And we find that it says that we ought to say, if the Lord will, if our Master wills, then we shall live and we shall do this or that. But we have to recognize He's the one that gives us life. He's the one that gives us the opportunities. I don't want to finish this evening with a passage in the book of Luke where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking in Luke chapter 6. And I want you to look in Luke chapter number 6 here this evening just for a few minutes before we go to our prayer time. And I want you to see in this passage of Scripture this wonderful truth of the Lord Jesus Christ being not only our Savior but our Master. Someone, I don't know who it was, but they said in recent years, many people today are looking for a Savior, but they're not looking for a Master. The reality is that He is Savior and Master. He's Savior and He's Master. He's Lord. We come to Luke chapter number 6, and I'm going to read just verse number 46 and make a few comments before we enter into our prayer time. But notice here what the Scriptures say, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Isn't that a convicting verse of Scripture? God in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, why call ye me Lord? Now, the reality is that it would be appropriate to call Him Lord, for He is. Amen? And we find that it's appropriate, it is necessary that we acknowledge that and recognize that. But I said by way of introduction this evening that it's imperative that we recognize His Lordship, but the same truth is that we must also submit to His authority. Because if I acknowledge His Lordship and fail to submit to His authority, then we must really review that thing and say, did I really acknowledge His Lordship? Did I really recognize who He is? And here in Luke 6 and verse 46, it says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, what would a master expect of a subject to do at their command? Whatever it is. Would you agree? Do you remember the centurion? The book of Matthew. The centurion comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was in a spot where he needed God to do something that no one else could do. He needed a miracle to take place, and we find that you come and you look through this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 8, and he comes, and we find that the centurion, he comes and he says that he had a servant that was sick of the palsy. Now, the centurion had a measure of authority, did he not? He had authority. And in the passage of Scripture, we find that Jesus was prepared to go, and yet he understood, this centurion understood, that the Lord Jesus Christ could speak the word only and His servant could be healed, that distance was no problem. And then here's what he says. I say to this one, go. And what does he do? He goes. I say to this one, come, and what does he do? He comes. I say, do this, and he does what I... What is he communicating? Well, he's communicating authority and submission, is he not? Now, if a centurion has that kind of control, if I could use that word, I wonder this evening when we look at our Lord and our Savior, He's a good God. He's a good God. He equips us. He's right there beside. He enables us. He's with us. And He says, here's what I want you to do. Remember, we looked there at the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 17, knowing what the will of the Lord is, and that we just come to the place of surrender, submission to His authority. That when God says go, we go. When He says come, we come. When He says do this, we do this. Why? Because He's my Lord and my Savior. This evening, it's absolutely necessary in the world in which we live. Listen, we live in a culture tonight where so many people are teaching us, we've been given this mindset that you're your own person. You do what you want to do. You do what makes you happy. Right? Is that not the world that we live in? Come on, I'm not the only one that lives in this world. This is the world that we live in. The mindset that is being given to our young people, that was given to us, is you be your own master. You do what you want to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. He's my Lord, Adonai. He's my master. And we need to recognize his authority, his lordship, and we must submit. We must submit. By the way, it's always best when we submit to his will. Why? Because his will is perfect. His will is perfect. And this evening, who's Lord of your life? Don't answer too quickly. Who's Lord of your life? I hope that tonight each of us could say, he is Lord of my life. That I've come to that place of full surrender, yielded. I am a living sacrifice. God, you did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Remember what he said to Abram? Come on, come out here. Look at these stars. Can you number them? How about, do you remember that I brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees into a land? Listen, he's done so many things for us. He is worthy of our submission, that we'd acknowledge who he is in our lives and live daily to bring glory to his name. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. I thank you for this truth tonight. Lord, I pray that as many in the scriptures, Isaiah, as we looked at there in Isaiah 6, recognized your lordship and submitted to your authority. When acknowledging that you're Lord, that you're master, and whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Here am I. Send me. How long? Lord, help us to be surrendered, yielded. Help us, Lord, to sacrifice ourselves, Lord, a living sacrifice which is holy and acceptable, pleasing to thee, Lord. Help us to serve you, to do the things that you've commanded us to do them with joy, because we get to do them for you. Bless our time of prayer. We pray that through all that's said and done, that you'd be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.